Yeah, Virupa Goswami. Many, many nice things he wrote, such as Upadeshamrita. So if you look at Upadeshamrita, there's one verse. Dadati pratigrinati. Guhyam akhyati prachati. Bhunkte bojayate chaiva. Sadvidam pratilakshanam. So Upa Goswami is advising us. He says that there are six symptoms of love. Pratilakshanam, affection, displayed between devotees. And they are?
Accepting and honoring prasadam and receiving and exchanging gifts.
Receiving and exchanging, okay.
And then revealing the confidential mind and listening to somebody others in confidence.
Yeah, yeah. So giving and receiving gifts, giving and receiving prasadam, and talking confidentially about things. Yeah.
We have the new instructions for both.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And normally $25, but today not 25, not 9, not even 6, only $1. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And the treasurer from the temple in San Diego will sign them today for you. Nayanidhi has come here. Very rare opportunity. Yeah. He won't sign in blood. But this is text number 4. Dadati pratigrinati guyamakyari prichati. Kind of stingy on the internal binding, internal margin here. Like that. But ISKCON Silicon Valley, printed in. Was it printed in where? The Search for Liberation, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Yeah. Printed in China. Okay. One devotee, Hansa Dudu, was printing so many books. He did one very. He was the first one to do the small vinyl covered Bhagavad Gita. So much innovative printing, like that. And so it was printed also in Singapore, I guess. Yeah. And Chuck Gravardi, his commander in chief, was coming back from Hong Kong. And he stopped over in Singapore just to see how it was ready. And everything was ready. Everything was fine, like that, you know. Then he went and he saw the proofs for the cover, like that, you know. And of course, they don't use Western characters like that. So he's looking at it, and he said, well, wait a second, but this is the press. It goes like that. So finally he figured out that they were going to print all the covers with letters backwards, like that, you know. For the Bhagavad Gita, I guess, I don't even say the it, Bhagavad Gita. Like that. So he told them this. They didn't know that because they didn't recognize characters like that, you know, gold embossed, you know. Very esoteric knowledge, you know. So he caught it just before the press, like that. You know? So many times of printing things like that, you know. Yeah. So in here in text number 4, there's giving and receiving gifts. And then Prabhupada says, yes, sir, he says it. You can believe me. Yeah. He says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord. Contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord is a sublime example of contributing or giving charity. The Dadati principle, like that. So I've been lecturing on this sometime, and that whenever I'm traveling in the airplanes, a lot of times, you're waiting in this line, waiting in that line, I'll be chatting to myself. Everybody else has to hear you like that, and stuff around you, you know. Yeah, so it's purifying. And many times somebody will make some comment, say something like that. Yeah? So always chanting wherever you go like that. Yeah? It is a cinema song from India. Yeah, yeah. And then Prabhu says, yes, sir. When one chants the holy name of the Lord, the heart is cleansed of all mundane conceptions. In the first stanza of his Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya says, all glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. Not only is the chanter of the Maha Mantra purified, but the heart of anyone who happens to hear the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also cleansed. Even the souls embodied in lower animals, insects, trees, and other species of life also become purified, and prepared to become fully Krishna conscious, simply by hearing the transcendental vibration. This was explained by Thakur Hari Das when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from him how living entities lower than human beings can be delivered from material bondage. Die. And so what you can do then is look up the citation. Yeah? So where is that? Lord Chaitanya is talking to Haridas Thakur. Where would it be? Which book? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Which Leela? Adi, Majjhima, or Antya? Huh? No. Majjhima is traveling all over the place. Antya Leela. Which chapter? The Glories of Haridas Thakur? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, most likely. It's right here in our Kindle machine. All of Prabhupada's books. You push, go back here. Hare Krishna. So it's Antya Leela. Actually, chapter 3, The Glories of Haridas Thakur. So 349, please repeat. Ekadina Prabhu.
Ekadina Prabhu.
Haridasare Malila.
Haridasare Malila.
Ekadina Prabhu.
Ekadina Prabhu.
Haridasare Malila.
Haridasare Malila.
Tanha Lanya Ghosti.
Tanha Lanya Ghosti.
Kari Tahare Puchila. Ekadina Prabhu Haridasare Malila. Tanha Lanya Ghosti Kari Tahare Puchila. So it sounds like they were walking someplace, taking Haridas Thakur with him, as usual, walking. And Lord Chaitanya, in the course of discussion, inquired as follows. Haridasa, Kali Kali Yavana Par, Go Brahmani Hingsakari Mahadura Chor. My dear Haridas Thakur, in this age of Kali, most people are bereft of Vedic culture, and therefore they are called Yavanas. They are concerned only with killing cows and killing Brahminical culture. In this way, they all engage in simple activities. Ah. So there's a beer. Was it Budweiser? The king of beers. Right. And for some time, they had a hero, you know, their icon. Of course, Camel had their icon. He was you know, he's the camel man. They had a camel, too. Joe Camel. Right? Yeah. I saw a cartoon one time, and Joe Camel was becoming so famous like that, different things. He was the camel cigarettes icon guy, you know. But then, like what happens to so many people like that, he lost his fame and popularity, and you know, fell on the skids. And it shows Joe Camel there trying to sell cigarettes to high school kids. Hey guy, want some smokes? You know? And he said, police car going by. Hey buddy, get out of here. You know? Yeah. So Joe Camel was really, you know, from fame and stardom, and from drinking iced beverages in his lawn chair next to the swimming pool, decided. So hustle money by selling cigarettes to high school kids, you know, like that. You know? So all of his friends may wonder where he is now. This was in the Chronicle, you know, where he is now. So it shows Joe Camel dressed up with a Uttariya and a Sika with a nicotine patch, you know, chanting and dancing like that. He says he's found real peace and inner happiness. So Joe Camel. Yeah. And another one, yeah. So then, Budweiser, their hero was, remember who it was? Spuds McKenzie, who was a dog, right? They tell you right from the beginning what the stuff's all about, you know. And Spuds McKenzie would sit there at the parties, and everybody was having a lot of fun, singing and dancing, whatever. He'd just sit there. He was a pit bull, you know. Pit bull, just sit there, you know. And then now recently, I think it's Budweiser also. They have their great slogan, which is. Why ask why? You know, why people die, why all this happens, why we never can find happiness, why, you know, why, you know, Why ask why? Just take another beer and you'll forget about all of it. So this is, you know, killing a Brahminical culture. You know, it's glorified. This is the way to live, you know, like that. When I was in the fraternity, some of the guys would have dates on Friday nights, go out with girls, you know, Saturday night. Some of us didn't. So then the motto was, beer won't let you down. Girls may let you down, but beer won't let you down. Yeah. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying. This is the modern world, is that people are trying to kill Brahminical culture. And they're all yavanas and killing cows and stuff. When you go to Argentina, when you walk outside on a Saturday morning or something, look down to the right and there's a big barbecue, right? With an entire carcass of a cow cooking away like that, you know. Yeah, you know. Spain the same way. In Spain, you find so many butcher shops with narrow streets and so much culture. But then you have these butcher shops with like meat stacked up in the window, different kinds. And many times they'll have a skinned rabbit. They're just the cadaver of the rabbit there with all the skin off. So you can be sure that you know what meat is, right? You know. We might think it's some kind of like burfi or something, put in little packages, but no, meat means you're a hunter, like that. You kill. You know? Prabhupada says that ultimately it's not the nutritious thing or anything like that. What it comes down to is that meat means envy of somebody else. And when you're eating meat, there's actually this gratification of murder and all this kind of stuff behind it. So maybe subtle or maybe gross. In Spain, they make it gross. Really like obvious, you know, like that. So see what Chaitanya is saying. You know? My dear Thakur Hari Das, in this age of Kali, most people are bereft of Vedic culture, and therefore they are called yavanas. They are concerned only with killing cows and killing Brahminical culture. Yeah? Now, if you also look at chapter 17 in the first canto, that's how Lord Parikshit, Maharaj Parikshit, meets the age of Kali. Right? And he sees a cow and a bull, and he sees one Shudra, low-class dude, you know, beating on the bull, and the bull is spotless, white like a white lotus flower, but he's terrified, only on one leg, like that, and the cow is crying. So the cow is Bhumi personified, the earth personified, and we can see the condition of the earth right now, you know, and the bull is Dharma, you know, principles of religion, principles of culture, moral ethics, like that. So then Prabhupada explains these symptoms of Kali Yuga there. And the first symptom is that low-class, you know, stupid fools are dressed up like leaders, like that, yeah? And leading everybody else, and people are following them, like that. There was a very famous television show for many years called Candid Camera when I was a child, yeah? And they used to, they used to do all these kind of strange things like that. The guy was Alan Funt. And it was really actually funny, the kind of tricky things he would do like that to people. You know? And then at the end of the whole thing, he finished it. In Psychology Today, they had an interview with him. And said, you're kind of like the master of social psychology. So what's your conclusion? What did you find out by doing these years of all this stuff with people and social behavior? So 1960s, when he was doing this, late 70s, early 70s, the result was, he said, it was very amazing that two things really stood out in all these different things. And one was that people, even when given the opportunity to tell a lie or to steal, wouldn't do it. Now, again and again, you saw people basically were honest like that. Nowadays, I don't know. But at that time, in the 60s and 70s, you know, so many opportunities, people just wouldn't do it. They were honest. And the second thing was that people are extremely influenced by somebody's appearance. If you look like an authority for this reason or that reason or whatever, people immediately just accept that's who you are like that. So that's the first symptom of Kali Yuga, is that people judge people by their dress. You know? They become very superfluous in their life and estimations like that. So we can't be misled like that. You know? Yeah. And even in ISKCON, Prabhupada said, if you're not careful, all this contamination can come in like that. We can become a superficial organization following certain things like that, but not have any kind of real internal thing, satisfied with our position. The highest material attachment is Varna Ashram Dharma, like that. Yeah? I'm a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Brahmachari. No, it's the highest material attachment. It's very subtle, you know, like that. The Prabhupada says one can only surpass this when he makes friendship with a devotee. He realizes it is more than just having these external roles, which are very comfortable like that in the material world, you know, and so on. So this is Lord Chaitanya's question. He says, Haridas, in the age of Kali, most people are bereft of Vedic culture and therefore called Yavanas. They are concerned only with killing cows and Brahminical culture. Second symptom after judging things by how people, by appearance, is that the principles of religion will be attacked, right? And so, you know, for example, one principle of religion that girls should remain chaste and like that until they get married and stuff and give their heart to one person and create a very stable situation in society. But in many cultures now, actually, virginity is actually, you're humiliated. Yeah, it's bizarre. And it's bizarre. Oh, you're 14 years old and you're still a virgin? Yeah, just in European countries, I mean, ways like that, you know. This is one example that the principles of religion become attached. We were going to the prison. I was in prison a little while ago for preaching, with Chandradas up at the Snake River Correctional Facility. It's on the border of Oregon and Idaho. And he's a psychologist there. So you go there several times, you know. And yeah, it's very interesting because we're doing kirtan and everything else. And he's got a lot of guys. Basically, it's a maximum security prison. So you're either there because you raped somebody or you murdered somebody. And a few odd people are there for being arsonists, trying to burn everybody alive, you know. So there were maybe about like 45 guys, and some really big and stuff, you know. And suddenly I was realizing, God, everybody here has either killed somebody or raped somebody. It's great, everybody here, like that, you know. And there's no way out. Your mind thinks about it. It's like you can't crawl under or sneak around. You realize that you're really, you know, you're in there, you know, and other people are in control of your life, you know. So then we did the kirtan. And everybody started chanting, all dancing, and some of them were like grabbing their arms and spinning around like that, and just like singing and dancing. You know? Wow. The holy names. So after that, on the way out, we visited the chaplain for the prison, and he showed us the prison library. And I'd never seen such a religious library in my whole life, you know. When there were all the Hare Krishna books, there were all the Divine Life Society books, there were all the Jehovah's Witnesses books, there were all the Seventh-day Adventist books, there were all, everybody had given, like, you know, their books to the prison. And the prisoners kind of like have time on their hands, so they, you know, can spend their, organize them all and make them all available in cassette tapes and everything else, you know. And so then the chaplain was saying that somebody asked him, he was saying, if you try and talk about God outside and go to public schools and stuff like that, they'll collect you and, you know, put you away. You try and talk about God, you know, like that. But in prison, he said, we get so much funding and resources and stuff to try and educate people in God consciousness in the prison like that. So he said it was bizarre, but a few days before, somebody had asked him, he says, hey, chaplain, where can I find God? He said, he thought for a second. He said, probably you should go to prison. Yeah. So that's the actual situation, right? People are trying to, like, attack the principles. In the first place, everybody lives a superficial life. And the second thing is that people are trying to actually attack the principles of religion. Then finally, the essence of the whole thing is they're killing cows, right? You know, I forgot what it is. It's something like maybe over a million animals die every day in the United States from the time the sun comes up to the sun goes down. And chickens, you know, pigs, cows, what else? Goats. Yeah, some goats, yeah. Yeah. And of course, the cow is the greatest meat is beef, right? Like that. Yeah. And so, And so, there's so many ways you can see if you actually get close to this, it's just, you know, not a nice thing. So, that's the whole thing. It manifests itself then and finally in this killing of animals. And of course, if you kill animals, then it's easy to kill people too. So, this is Lord Chaitanya's explanation. My dear Haridas Thakur, in this age of Kali, most people are bereft of Vedic culture, and therefore they are called Yavanas. They are concerned only with killing cows and killing Brahminical culture. In this way, they are all engaged in sinful acts. How will these Yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I do not see any way. And so Prabhupada said, this is the platform of our movement, Lord Chaitanya's unhappiness. You know, look at Lord Chaitanya. I got my own life, but I'll give you 15 minutes a day to help you out. You know, okay, I'll use it. So that's the position, even though we may have so many attachments, so much selfish things like that. You know, Lord Chaitanya is in so much anxiety, right? So much desire to help people that whatever little bit of ability or nature or tendency we have, he'll use us like that, you know? And so we should feel that we're going to become empowered agents, right? Maya will make you depressed. I'm not doing anything. No. You see, whatever little effort you make, Lord Chaitanya will make it a big success like that. And the Prabhupada says that's the basis of our preaching platform. Lord Chaitanya's anxiety. Then he says, Haridasa kahe. Haridas replied, "My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the condition of the Yavanas in the Silicon Valley." Yes, sir. Because the Yavanas are all accustomed to say, "Haram, haram," or "Adidas, Adidas," right? "Adidas, Adidas," or "Ramada, Ramada in," Ramada, Rama, Ramada. Yes. Because the Yavanas are all accustomed to say, "Haram, haram, O Lord Ramachandra," they will very easily be delivered from this by this Namabas. A devotee in advanced ecstatic love exclaims, "Haram, O my Lord Ramachandra, O my Lord Ramachandra." But the Yavanas also chant, "Haram, haram," which means, "Oh, God damn it," basically like that, in the Muslim thing. Just see their good fortune. Namacharya Haridas Thakur, the authority on chanting the holy name, said, "The chanting of the holy name is the chanting of the Lord's holy name to indicate something other than the Lord is an instance of Namabas. Even when the holy name is chanted in this way, the transcendental power is not destroyed." So chanting is saying this before, when somebody, some carpenter, is pounding nails, and usually about maybe once a week or something like that, you hit your finger and you say, "Oh, God damn it," like that, If he is somehow, there's some good fortune, some circumstance, he'll say that. Somebody else will say something else he can't repeat like that, But it's a namabas. It doesn't mean God, really, but it's there, Oh, God, curse this activity. God, make this activity not exist. I'm hitting my thumb like that. So before the sun comes up, there's enough light to go out and drive your car without the lights on, to move around like that, That's called civil twilight, is when you can just drive around and move around like that. And nautical twilight is when you can't see the horizon, because as long as you can see the horizon, you can figure out which way is to go like that. When the horizon disappears, it's called nautical twilight. Civil twilight, we keep driving. So exact opposite. Enough light. Okay, so this is Namabhas. The name is, you mean something else, but the name is so powerful that when you say it, it has an effect like that. It's a very surprising thing to hear this. Discussing this last night. Dangstri dangstrahato mlecho ha rameti puna puna. Even a mlecha who is being killed by the tusk of a boar and who cried in distress again and again, "Haram, haram," attained liberation. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name of the Lord with veneration and faith? Prabhupada says, this refers to an instance in which a meat eater being killed by a boar uttered the holy name, "Haram, haram," again and again at the time of his death. Since this is a quotation from the Nisringa Purana, this indicates that in the Puranic age, there must have been malechas, yavanas, meat eaters, and the words "haram," meaning condemned, were also uttered in those days. Thus, Thakur Haridas gives evidence that even a meat eater who condemns something by uttering the name "haram" gets the benefit of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And it was the same benefit that a devotee gets by chanting, "Oh, my Lord Ramachandra." So different instances of Namabas, you start looking like that in the culture like that. And that's maybe why people don't get all these reactions, horrible reactions they deserve, because still there's some respect for God. On the back of the money it says, right, United States, "In God we trust," So there's some kind of currency, the name of Namabas. On Indian, as far as I know, it's the only currency in the world where the name of God appears. In India, it says, "Satyam eva jayate." Right? When I went to India in 1978, it was pretty robust in size. But now you look on your current Indian note, and you can barely find it. It's so small. These are indicators, what's happening. There's a thing called street dog index. It's an economic indicator. And you go and look at how the street dogs are doing, because they're at the bottom of the food chain. When I went to India in 1978, the dogs were gray. They had skin diseases. Their hair was falling off. Their skin was bleeding. They had broken tails. They were fighting with pigs for garbage with broken teeth. You know, really tough. You know, but now if you go to Delhi and walk around, by 10 o'clock in the morning, they're all sleeping. Their bellies are full. They're sexually discriminant. You know, different races are appearing. So, the economy. Oh, the economy is pretty good. Yeah, street dog, you know. So many indicators, if you're a theologian, about what's happening in the society like that. You know? And so you see different names of God are appearing here and there. You know? And the word spiritual, these kind of things. Yeah? Ajamila Putre Balaya Bali Narayana Vishnu Duta Ashi Chedaya Tahara Bandan. Ajamila was a great sinner during his life, but at the time of death, he accidentally called for his youngest son, whose name was Narayan, and the attendants of Lord Vishnu came to relieve him from the bonds of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. And what is the word accidental? It doesn't say accidental in the word by word. Ajamila Putre unto his son Boliya called Bali Narayana, saying Narayana, Vishnu Duta Asi Chidaya. It doesn't say accidental there. Rama Dui Aksharija Nahi Vyavahita. The word Rama consists of the two syllables Ra and Ma. Yeah? Ra and Ma. These are unseparated and decorated with a loving word Ha, meaning O. The letters of the holy name have so much spiritual potency that they can act even when uttered improperly. And this is next a quotation from the Hari Bhakti Vilas from the Padma Purana. If a devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind or enters his ear, which is the channel of oral reception, that holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage, whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, and properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. O Brahmana, the potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism, in other words, if one utters the holy name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Like that. So the result is always there. There's always some effect. But if we're chanting with offenses, offense means consciously. You know, if a person is chanting without any, just chanting innocently. We give the example that many of the soldiers at Kurukshetra were just innocent guys, just there because that's their dharma, their nature, like that. So they were so like satisfied to see how Arjuna and Krishna were fighting. Other soldiers, they were so inspired to see it like that. So when they died, they got Swarup Siddhi. They got their original forms because they were meditating on the form of Krishna and Arjuna. They weren't offensive. They were neutral in that condition. They could appreciate it. So same way, if one is chanting in a neutral sense and says, oh, God damn it, or this and that, and so many things, yeah, he'll get so much benefit like that. Second, it'll follow automatically. But on the other hand, if we're actually taking the name for ulterior motives, you know, then it's still effect. Still an effect. But it'll be slower like that. Prabhupada says, after 400 lifetimes of chanting like this, you'll get the result. Namabasa hoiti haya sarva papakshai. Haridas Thakur continued, if one offenselessly utters the holy name, even imperfectly, one can be free from all the results of sinful life. And then from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also, O reservoir of all good qualities, just worship Sri Krishna, the purifier of all purifiers, the most exalted of the personalities worshipped by choice poetry. Worship him with a faithful, unflinching mind, without duplicity, and in a highly elevated manner. Thus worship the Lord, whose name is like the sun, For just as a slight appearance of the sun dissipates the darkness of night, so a slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna can drive away all the darkness of ignorance that arises in the heart due to a greatly sinful activity performed in previous lives. Haridas Thakur continues, even a faint light from the holy name of the Lord can eradicate all the reactions of sinful life. And he quotes them from Srimad Bhagavatam 6249. Mriya mano harer nama grinan putro pacharitam ajamilo pi agadama kim uta shvadaya grinam. While dying, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, intending to call his son Narayana. Nevertheless, he attained the spiritual world. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name with faith and reverence? Namabhase mukti hoi sarva kshastre deki shri bhagavate tate ajamil sakshin. Because even the faintest rays of the effulgence of the Lord's holy name, by those, one can attain liberation. We can see this in the revealed scriptures. Even by the faintest rays of the holy name, one can attain liberation. The evidence appears in the story of Ajamil in the Srimad Bhagavatam. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this from Haridas Thakur, the happiness within his heart increased. But as a matter of course, he still inquired further. Priti vitte bahu jeev stavara jangam iha sabar ki prakare hoibe mochan. On this earth there are many living entities, Lord Chaitanya said, some moving and some not moving. What will happen to the trees, plants, insects, and other living entities? How can they be delivered? Because now we hear how the yavanas are going to be delivered, because they're all chanting Adidas, right? And Ramadah, and oh God damn it, you know? Yeah. Other names too. There must be other names floating around too like that. Yeah. Mardi Gras. Right? Mardi Gras? You know the Mardi Gras?
Yeah, the New Orleans festival.
Yeah, what does it mean? Yeah, I mean, let's just say Lunes, Martes in Spanish, so Mardi in French. And Grau, gross, it means Fat Tuesday. Mardi Gras. So in Christian tradition, there's a tradition of fasting for 40 days, following the example of Jesus Christ. And you do some kind of fasting. I think in Greek Orthodox tradition, you give up wine, oil, and salt, you know, for 1 month. And also follow no illicit sex. Yeah, basically no sex, I think, you know. So they actually, if you're actually following Greek Orthodox tradition strictly, you follow the four principles about, you know, something like about 5 months out of the year or something like that, you know, as a grihasta. You know. So they do this, and then I think it's right before. Mardi Gras is the day before you're supposed to start this 40 days of fasting. So everybody, you pig out, right? It's Mardi Gras, you know. Yeah. And so it has a spiritual significance, but people have forgotten this like that. But there's so many things in our culture, you know, that have this kind of potency like that. You know? And it's not the real thing. Like, you know what it means now, Mardi Gras, and stuff like that. But before even you say it, even the ray, even the smell, right? Even the reflection or the shadow of the holy name is so potent that it makes you, you know, get free from your suffering. Yeah? But this is like being released from prison, right? There's a big earthquake and the prison pops open, all the prisoners run out. Is that okay? They're free. But they have the same nature, the same karma, the same stupidity, the same inabilities. And sure enough, they're going to get captured again like that. So this aspect of liberation is a good aspect of the holy name, but we need something else. And that actually happens by chanting the holy name, and then one actually gets knowledge of his position. Then one gets a process to revive his relationship with Krishna, and then one reawakens his love of Krishna. You know? So automatically then one is not going to be attracted to the sinful life again in that position. Yeah. So then Lord Chaitanya is asking all the yavanas are delivered. But what about all the insects and the plants and everybody else? Haridasa Kahe. My dear Lord, the deliverance of all moving and non-moving living entities takes place only by your mercy. You have already granted this mercy and delivered them. You have loudly chanted the Hare Krishna mantra, and everyone, moving or not non-moving, has benefited by hearing it. Tumi e kariyachi e ucha sankirtan stavara jangamera se hayata shravan. My Lord, the moving entities who have heard your loud sankirtan have already been delivered from bondage to the material world, and after the non-moving living entities, like the trees, hear it, there is an echo. Actually, however, it is not an echo from the trees. It is the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. And this all this is inconceivable, but it is possible by your mercy. So actually, I was up in Oregon, and we were talking about this. If you drive along the interstates, all the trees and everything else look very plastic, kind of like that, in their nature and stuff. But we get off on these minor highways and stuff, and the whole forest seems to come to life like that, you know? So, you know, the nasty gas, but also the whole vibration, everything else, it produces a reaction in the atmosphere like that, you know? And so if you have like a kirtan inside or outside or like that, it's saying the plants respond to this, you know? There's one area now in, what's it called? I guess this is in biology, called psychoneuroimmunology. And they're actually investigating how plants, right, react and have consciousness. You know, of course, tea growers in Siliguri, they know this. They play music for the tea plants because it always has a better result like that. You know? But even if you go and you threaten a plant with like to chop it up like that and say, "Oh, I'm going to cut you up," and all this kind of stuff like that, there's a galvanic skin response. The plant actually has some reaction like that. And there's so many studies, too, that plants, when something's happening to them, they'll change their smell. So the plants surrounding them will also smell that, and they'll start to change their smell. So this infestation of beetles or whatever it is, when they come to them, it won't like them because they'll taste differently like that. So there's always communication and activity amongst plants. You know? And it's saying here that the plants can appreciate this chanting like that. And as a result of that, they vibrate. They echo this back. You know? So wherever you're going, as much as possible, always chant the names of God or recite Srimad Bhagavatam or something like that. You know? So many ways you can do it, you know, like that. You know, what are you singing? It is India cinema song. Well, all right. You know? Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so with prayers, Bhagavad Gita. You know? And it's subtle, gross. So many devotees who actually work in the software industry. One devotee, how is it? They have the whole Bhagavatam in what's it called? Linux? Yeah, okay. Linux. Yeah, whole thing there. You know, one devotee I know, he works for Micron, and he finishes off most of his projects like about within 60% of the time required. He's actually a leader. Has five more guys that work for him, and if he worked the rest of his time, he could very easily advance like that. They said, "What on earth for? You know, if I have enough money to handle everything, having all my bills are taken care of." So then the other 40% of the time, he just reads, you know, Bhagavatam and other things like that. And it's all in Linux, you know. So when his boss walks by and kind of looks over, he thinks he's doing some kind of programming work or something like that. You know? So now other people are also, you know, downloading it from him and, you know, doing the same thing like that, you know. Yeah. So this is somehow or other, you can always find so many ways to chant and stuff like that. And then the whole world benefits just by the vibration and saying like that, even the plants. You know? Yeah. Actually, however, this is not an echo. It is the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. All this, although inconceivable, is possible by your mercy. Yeah. When loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is performed all over the world, by those who follow in your footsteps, all living entities, moving and non-moving, dance in ecstatic devotional service. Okay, let's get into it. My dear Lord, all the incidents that took place while you were going to Vrindavan through the forest of Jarikanda have been related to me by your servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So Lord Chaitanya was making the deers and the snakes and the monkeys and the elephants and the tigers all dance and roar, you know, because of the kirtan. When your devotee Vasudev Dat submitted his plea at your lotus feet for the deliverance of all living entities, You accepted that request. My dear Lord, you have accepted the form of a devotee just to deliver all the fallen souls of this world. You have preached the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way freed all moving and non-moving living entities from material bondage. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "If all living entities were liberated, the entire universe would be devoid of living beings." Haridas Thakur said, "My Lord, as long as you are situated within this material world, you will send to the spiritual world all the developed, moving, and non-moving living entities in different species. Then again you will awaken the living entities who are not yet developed and engage them in activities. In this way, all moving and non-moving living entities will come into existence and the entire universe will be filled as it was previously." Yeah. Previously, when Lord Ramachandra left this world, he took with him all the living entities of Ayodhya. He then filled Ayodhya again with other living entities. "My dear Lord, you have set a plan in motion, and by descending in the material world, but no one can understand how you are acting. Formerly, when Lord Krishna descended in Vrindavan, he freed all living entities in the universe from the material existence in the same way. Krishna, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, master of all the masters of mystic power, delivers all living entities, moving and non-moving. Nothing is astonishing in the activities of the Lord." 10:29:16, Bhagavatam. "Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be seen, glorified, or remembered with an attitude of envy, he nevertheless awards the most confidential liberation, which is rarely achieved by the demigods and demons. What then can be said of those who are already fully engaged in devotional service to the Lord?" Vishnu Purana 4:15-17. Haridas Thakur said, "By descending as an incarnation at Navadvip, you, just like Krishna, have already delivered all the living entities in the universe. One may say that he understands the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He may know whatever he may know, but as far as I am concerned, this is my conclusion. My dear Lord, your pastimes are just like an ocean of nectar. It is not possible for me to conceive how great that ocean is, or even to understand a drop of it." Hearing all this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was astonished. "These are actually my confidential pastimes," he thought. "How could Haridas have understood them?" Greatly satisfied by the statements of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Outwardly, however, he avoided further discussions on this matter. Haridas Thakur ki, Shishi Harinam ki, die. So this is our whole process, is chanting. And book distribution, of course, is one of the most powerful forms, right, of chanting, kirtan, of the holy names like that. And potency is even if done indirectly, right? Even if people come to some contact with a book or the touching or the names, they get liberation. Then they can understand, you know, something more subtle like that. So much mercy, you know, from this process of sankirtan like that, this temple, everything else like that. Any comments, anybody? Any questions? Complaints? Donations? Oh, one complaint. Okay. Yes, sir.
Maharaj, regarding this chanting, you read that if we chant with offenses, it does not produce, it acts slowly.
Yeah.
And there are some offenses mentioned, mm-hmm. But despite, you know, reading all those offenses, still there is a chance that we are making offenses, but we don't know about it.
Yeah.
How can we know that whether we are chanting without offense? How can we know that whether we are chanting without offenses?
How do we know we're chanting without offenses? Yeah. Well, many ways. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam. So we're actually engaged in regular sadhana bhakti and keep ourselves in the association of devotees, then we can see what's happening. You know, when you look at the wall, you can't see what your face looks like. You know, look at a mirror, it's like, yeah, right away. You know, yeah. So when you surround yourself with nice devotees who are following the process, then automatically you see your own character like that, and you can see when you're being offensive and stuff like that. When you're a nice people, right away you can see if you're like, you know, gross person, like that. Yeah. So by keeping good association, let's tell you, Dasa Rupa Goswami, by keeping association of nice devotees and by following the rules and regulations, then you can see what's going on. And you can protect yourself from engaging in offenses then. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu Sangha and Sadhana Bhakti. Yes, madam.
Well, how can we avoid offenses?
Ah, okay. So in the Upadeshamrita, Prabhupada says, Mano Vegam, how to control the mind. He says one way is by making plans to serve Krishna. Because the nature of the mind is thinking, feeling, willing, you know. So the heart has the perspective. Who am I? My attitude towards things. On that basis, then I think in the head. You know? So if I have reasonable basis, then I should engage myself in thinking about how to serve Krishna. Yeah, right. And then automatically you won't be thinking about this and that. Yeah. So one time Prabhupada says, so we can make plans for serving Krishna, but better it is to chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. So if you can do that, okay, even better. Chanting the holy names, do kirtan, read pastime stories in the association of devotees according to the regular schedule given by the acharya, and do japa, you know? Yeah. So, good process. Get up early in the morning, chant your rounds, do bhajan kirtan, gravastika, you know? And then during the daytime, yeah, if you want to be a full-time engaged devotee, right? To hell with it all. I'm a brahmacharini. Yeah. And all day long then. You can be serving the deity, cooking, cleaning, you know, and do engage in Harinam. But if we have our own passion, everything else, okay, then whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. So Arjuna is making all kinds of plans every day about how to carry on this battle for Krishna. He didn't want to fight it for Draupadi. He gave that idea up. But he wanted to fight it for Krishna, because Krishna wanted Draupadi to be happy. Yeah? So making plans, you know. But better than that, of course, is just to, you know, to chant Hare Krishna. And worse than that is to engage in karma yoga. It's still good. Just so, because if you're engaged in all kinds of external activities according to your nature, then your mind also won't be thinking about these things. Because it's thinking about, think about what you're doing. And you can't start, you know, thinking about something else while you're cutting sabji. You got to, watch it, you know. Well, why am I doing this? Bhakti yoga pushes you on the middle platform. Why am I doing this? Well, for the deities, for the offering. Like that. Yeah. So karma yoga, engage in activities to serve Krishna, your mind will follow. Jnana yoga, dana yoga, making plans for serving Krishna. And all of me just chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. Okay? I have to do it. Yes, sir.
Oh. Maharaj, I was reviewing or taking a look at the Japa Reform book. Yeah.
And oh,
it was written, I can't remember the devotee who wrote that, but it was
Satsrup Maharaj.
Yes, Satsrup Maharaj, yes, yeah. In, I think 1980s. But he's talking about using japa as a purification process. There's an offensive chanting and then clearing, or where you're purifying yourself. And sometimes you don't get quite there. What's the remedy if you're not quite clear on your chanting? I mean,
one time Satsrup Maharaj said, he asked Prabhupada, how can I chant better rounds? And Prabhupada looked at him and said, by chanting better rounds. So ultimately, it's just bhakti, it's devotion. You want to do it, you just do it like that, you know, whatever tools you have. You know. Other than that, there's just, you know, so many techniques. Prabhupada calls them spiritual though material tricks. Yeah. For example, at certain times of the day are better, so we get up early. You chant like that and so on, you know. What else? You chant with your tongue. Make sure the tongue and jaw move. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, kitty. No, you chant clearly. And even though it's mechanical, that will work. You'll feel the purification. And then Prabhupada recommends a combination of japa, kirtan, and books. You know? So the kirtan, your whole body's moving. Spatial orientation, tonal discrimination, temporal discrimination, meaning. So it's important every day to, you know, get up, have a kirtan, chant. We have in the morning program, we have kirtan a couple times. This automatically does the pranayama that you find in Astanga yoga. You know? And we chant in the japa sitting there. You can really concentrate. Your fingers should feel the beads. Your tongue should move. That stimulates so many nerves in the cerebral cortex. Then the maximum stimulation for a human being, pretty much. So, you know, the whole technique, following the technique properly. And, of course, simultaneously, if we're absorbed in the body, you know, by illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and animal slaughter, then we can't chant. Appreciate the holy names from a subtle aspect like that. So follow the four principles 60 strictly and try to chant 16 nice rounds every day. and you see it has an effect, you know. And then you add to that, you know, full morning program, get up for Brahma Muhurta. So basically, again, the sadhana yoga. And then do it enthusiastically, but have some patience, you know. Prabhupada says in the Upadeshamrita that some girl's married, and the whole wedding ceremony, she comes home from the house with her new husband, and she's looking for her baby. Where's my baby? No, it takes a little while, you know. Yeah. So it's the same way, but it's guaranteed. It's going to happen. So yeah, be a little patient, you know, like that. But mostly be enthusiastic. There's more and more rules and regulations you can add like that in your day like that, you know. And again, association. Associate with people who are chanting nicely. Like Srila Prabhupada. Have his tape. Okay. So you're on the right path, right? Just keep on going. Okay. So maybe here you want to go ahead and...
Thank you very much.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. And now we have a little kirtan. Radha-Madan Mohan have had a very nice feast. Yes. Now we'll sing for them like that in melodious tones.
His Holiness Hanumat Prasad Swami ki.
Jai. Ramchandra Bhagavan ki. Jai.